a couple reminders that there are some team members who were not able to join the webinar for you know, IT issues, logistic issues, so hopefully you've got the slides. And then just as a reminder to go ahead and mute your phones while Gail's talking. I am going to record the sessions and post that audio file along with the webinar slides to the CTRAC Researcher portal so that it'll be there available for maybe team members who are not able to join the webinar today. But definitely we want to encourage, you know, opportunities to talk to Gail and the VASCOR team. It's great to have them on the line as well. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Gail.
Great. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for taking the time to be on the call today. But before we before we get started, can everyone see my slide set?
No.
No.
Yes, well, that's not good. All right. So, well, we've got one. Did we send the slide set to the site so they could open it on their desktops if necessary?
I did to some folks. We were trying to do some trials. I don't know if maybe the folks who are not able to see Gail's slides and do not have the slide set, could you just send a quick note to Kathy Twitchell, and I'll go out and make sure that she gets that sent to you right away. Since I have mine open, I can't kind of do both. So.
All right. So everybody, if you have access to your email, make sure you're on the lookout. In the next couple minutes, they'll send them to you, because I'm in the same position. Otherwise, I'd send them out, because this is just the intro part. So I think it'll become more important to see everything as we get to the actual documents and how to fill those out. So thank you for doing that. Okay, so the reason why we're, as you mentioned, doing this call today is just to get you to network with us. But the CTRAC trial is can be a little convoluted in terms of what's required at each visit, what documents are required at each visit, and so that's what we really hope to clear up today, because a lot of it can be streamlined to your standard studies. It's just a matter of getting yourself organized when you know you have a CTRAC patient. So the CTRAC stands for Chronic Venous Thrombosis Relief with Adjunctive Catheter-Directed Therapy, and we are going to review the duplex ultrasound requirements. So today our objectives are to review the venous compression ultrasound exam requirements for the baseline, 6-month, and unscheduled visits. So basically there's 2 required visits and then unscheduled should something change clinically for the patient that triggers a duplex scan. We'll review the exam conduct, the venous compression components, how to measure the residual thrombus diameter measurements, image annotation, reflux, the duplex ultrasound component, and which visits that's required. And then we will review how to really do the documentation piece. So baseline visit, as I mentioned, they're a little bit different at each visit, but it is important at baseline. First, it's a complete evaluation of the study limb. And if you don't, let's say the internal procedure at your institution is to do both limbs, you're not sure which limb is going to be enrolled in the study, then do both. And unfortunately, we'll just have to wait until we find out which limb is included. But you could send them both to us. You don't need to worry about it. We'll sort it out. So it is evaluation of the study limb. The goal is the baseline is to document extent and location of venous disease. Remember, these are not going to be normal people. The vessel scans, you need to scan from the iliocaval junction through the iliacs down to the confluence of the popliteal tibial veins. Document findings on the baseline clinical center's worksheet. You will see all the worksheets do have are titled clinical center's worksheet, and then you will see a visit. Basically, at baseline in 6 months, it's the same form, and the key is you do the best job you can to document all the findings at baseline, because what we're looking for is any changes between treatment and post-procedure, so as a pre-procedure treatment scan. So it does include a deep and superficial reflux study as well as the compression component. So we need to document the extent and the exact location of the reflux. obviously what we're looking for is to see if there's any improvement post-treatment. It really is mandated that the exam is performed standing. You should only do it in basically supine or some sort of upright or tilt table position when the patient cannot stand. This is predominantly an outpatient population, so we are expecting that the majority of these would be done standing. And then there is an associated reflux worksheet, which is different from the compression worksheet. So here is the baseline scheduled clinical center's worksheet. As you can see, it's important to fill out the center number, your subject number, date of ultrasound, and then you're only going to fill out the side for the study limb. We do ask that you draw in the clot, the location that you're seeing. And remember, this would be your quick reference when that patient comes back at 6 months. Now, obviously, it's going to be a little bit tougher, you know, in terms of with the iliacs. But if you have any comments or you want to add anything, just write on this form. There's not a specific comment section, but this is your only method to communicate anything to us that you can't exactly put into the drawing. So refer to this worksheet as a quick reference because it will always sort of guide you to what needs to be done at that visit. If you fill out the worksheet, we'll have all the images we need to read the study. The one thing that is not always clear here is that you do need to do a contralateral CFD waveform and image to assess for symmetry. And the reason why we're doing that is because the iliacs are involved in this study, and if you can't get a good exam of the iliac veins or your patient age, then the key is you want to be able to use the common femoral artery waveforms to help us indirectly assess the iliac veins. And it's most important that you do a good job of this at baseline, because if the patient comes back and they happen to be in the group that gets randomized to treatment, EVT treatment, and they get a stent, and you can't see the stent, you can't see the common iliac vein, let's say, we're going to use that waveform at the groin at 6 months. And if you didn't get a good baseline contralateral waveform, then it's really of no use to be able to really compare for symmetry. It's a crude assessment to begin with, so we need to do the best job we can. So do not forget the portion there where the green arrow is pointing to patency of the common iliac veins. We're really looking for patent or occluded, right? It's pretty black and white. If the patient does have disease, you see some residual thrombi, maybe some fibrotic changes, just make sure you include that in the image. So again, we're back to if they get stented, something for that patient, we're going to want to look at that at the six-month visit. Here is the reflux worksheet. So you do need both. Now the worksheet you have will not say standing. I just added that to highlight it for this slide set. But remember, we need both of these to accompany the patients. And we had a little glitch in the beginning where the sites didn't have this form, so we weren't getting it, and we didn't know there were any reflux images included. So if for some reason you do the reflux exam, at least refer to this slide set so you give us all the information. If you didn't receive the worksheet, just write us. We'll be very happy to send it to you. It needs to be completed for the study limb. Again, we're going to be using this to compare to any findings we see at 6 months. Use the comment section to report any technical limitations. Sign and date it. And the reason why we really want your signature is simply that if we are finding any issues with the conduct of the exam and we need to communicate that to you, we would do it via our feedback, and we use the research coordinator at the center as our liaison, and so we would add your name and say, please make sure that so-and-so gets this transmission. Submit the images and worksheet promptly to VASCOR, and the reason why we ask for that is if there are any study issues where we're having trouble reading it or there's some compliance issues with how the exam's being done, we want to be able to get that information to you before the next visit. And the nice thing is this pretty much outlines, we're going to go over it in a little more detail, but what veins need to be done in terms of scanning. If there is a segment, let's just say your pop vein is occluded, then you do not need to do a reflux time in that segment. You would only do it in those vessels that are patent. at the 6-month study protocol. Unilateral study, again, same thing, iliocaval to popliteal vein confluence, compression sonogram, and now we're going to add those compared to the residual diameter measurements. That's going to, you're going to see here the residual is done at the common femoral vein and popliteal vein. We do not do it at the femoral vein, and the only time you do it is if you mark no, and that's why it says no residual diameter. That's when you would add that component to the study. So you will capture that at baseline and at 6 months. Again, contralateral CF waveform is going to be necessary. Assess for patency or any changes from baseline. That's why it's good to familiarize yourself with how the patient presented and what that duplex was at baseline. It will help you in terms of just being more efficient. For those subjects, not everyone will have an iliac vein stent, only those randomized to EVT therapy. So if there is a stent, you need to scan the proximal, mid, and distal segment of the stent. You're going to measure the internal diameters, and if there's any area with visual lumen loss, and I will show you some examples of that. If there are more, if there's more than one stent and they're overlapping, you know, it's challenging enough to find the iliac veins. Usually it's actually easier when the stents are in place because the stents provide that scaffold that you can actually see it. But if there's overlapping stents, take that stent and treat it as one long stent. We don't need to know which one's one or two. Just treat it as one long stent and then divide that into thirds. You're not going to need to do a proximal, mid, and distal measurement on each one because we don't know where one stops and starts. So just take the long stent that you have and divide it into thirds to do your measurements. The reflux exam, it's the same that was done for that patient pre-procedure, so superficial and deep veins, assess for reflux, and again, refer to the protocol in the worksheet. The worksheet is exactly the same for the 6-month reflux, and you can see here it says baseline 6 months. Here are the two worksheets just to show you for 6 months what we would expect to receive on our end. And this form is exactly the same, only it does say 6 months scheduled. Please make sure that you are using the correct form, whether it's baseline or 6 months, only because the people that, you know, receive these cases and sort them and process them before they go back for their analysis, you know, they go by what's submitted. And if it says 6 months, or if it was a baseline form and you did a 6-month study, then we're going to end up having to issue a query. So we can't make the assumption that that's what it is. So make sure you fill out the date of the ultrasound exam. Again, you can put not done. Let's just say the treated leg is the left. You could mark not done because, in a way, you're not doing the full exam, but remember to include that contralateral CFE waveform and image. So you're going to do the same thing. You're going to draw in the cuts on the diagram. It doesn't have to be perfect. What we're really looking for, if there's any extension or any regression between the baseline and the 6 month. Same thing with the residual diameter measurements. They need to be done only if the vein is not fully compressible, and that would be at the CFV and the popliteal vein. Now, we have the stent evaluation at 6 months, that obviously you don't have pre-procedure. If no stent is present, then you evaluate the iliacs for patency, but you're not going to fill anything out here. For stent diameters, we tried to give you a little bit of some guidelines on the worksheet so you don't have to look at the protocol every time. But as I mentioned, you're going to do proximal, mid, and distal stent, the internal diameters, the narrowest segment within that. So if you take a stent, you divide it into thirds, you want to take your measurement from the narrowest segment. Overlapping stents, as I mentioned, single stent. Non-overlapping stents, then you're going to have to do each one separately. And you would basically just put them side by side here. Proximal stent, the measurement, and then just right next to it put number two and do that. We don't expect to really see more than that, but you never know if they have an issue with putting in a stent, that could happen. The narrowest flow lumen diameter. Now, if their flow is not reduced and the stent is widely patent, then obviously you don't need to do that measurement, okay? If you see anything, and I'm going to show you some actual image examples of that, to show you how you're going to do the stent diameter at that location, and then compare it to the narrowest flow lumen diameter. And we do want the measurements in millimeters. And remember that for all studies, you want to make sure that the stent diameter is always done at the same level. Reflux, same as the one you did for the baseline. Same form, just check off the six-month visit. Unscheduled visit, this is the only one that's different. So you only, the intent of doing an unscheduled exam is really something happened to the patient clinically that triggered this. And in a venous study, you know, you're thinking of whole limb swelling, let's say, or just any new swelling and pain that maybe they have an acute DVT. So the only thing that's required is the venous compression exam with the diameter measurements. Okay, so yes, if there's a stent in place, you're still going to do that, but you don't need to do the reflux exam at this visit. Compare findings to prior visits, because again, we want to assess even for minor changes, particularly if the patient has new symptoms. Complete the study limb unscheduled clinical center worksheet. So again, this is a third form for you guys. You have a baseline, you have a 6 month, and now you have an unscheduled. Then there's also the VASCOR checklist. And the reason why is the clinical center's worksheet for an unscheduled exam is to stay at the site. It does not, you don't ship that with the images. But in order to ensure you captured all the images we need to read a study, we do have a VASCOR checklist for you. And you're going to sign and date all those forms. So here's the two forms. I've tried to highlight which one comes to us and which ones you keep on site. So basically, the unscheduled worksheet, clinical worksheet, is the same that you've been using for all the other visits. This other one, all you're really going to do is let us know which is the study limb, so we're sure it's consistent, right? If they've already had, say, their baseline and the study limb was marked as right, we want to verify, and particularly if the images aren't labeled correctly. So it's just another method to ensure that we are looking at the right leg. Record the DUS images in a digital format and send to VASCOR. All compression images must be documented in transverse view. So I'm not going to read all this, but really what it is for the compression exam, an overview of what we're going to need to read this without your worksheet. So just check off in that box whether or not you have those images included with the image that you'll be sending to us. So just trying to give you an idea of the veins evaluated, just a nice little diagram. So CIV, EIV, common femoral, saphenofemoral junction, femoral vein, popliteal, all the way to the popliteal tibial venous confluence. And then for the superficial veins, you're doing great saph, small saph, and the saphenopopliteal junction. Basic study considerations. I think the hardest part with a venous study is obviously to an independent reviewer proving compression. And so there are a couple things. More is better. It's best to use CineLoop clips for compression. And if you do that, please do it slowly. Sometimes we get them that it's in your hand and you're kind of just popping up and down. It's going down the leg because you have a nice, compressible vein. But it doesn't prove it. It's just like you can't slow it down to really appreciate that. Not only do we want to see you compress and have the walls touch, but we want to see when you take the pressure off that that vein opens again. We really do need validation that you did not roll off that vein. So the best way is to just consider that these images stand alone. We don't know the clinical patient's presentation. We don't know anything other than what that picture tells us. And if it doesn't prove anything one way or the other, then we're unable to analyze it. If the image quality is limited, you know, we're dealing with a diseased patient population. They could have some tissue swelling, things like that that really limit image quality. They could have a deep vessel with a larger thigh. Just use an arrow so that it kind of focuses our eye to where you're at. And sometimes when people are scanning and doing compressions and moving down the limb, you'll start to see the veins sort of veer off axis. It's not under the artery anymore, and it's going off axis to the side of the screen, and you're like, whoa, bring it back. So just try and remember that when you go quickly to keep it centered so we can follow along. Abnormal findings. If there's an area that does not fully compress, do a long axis view so we can actually appreciate what the reason for the non-compression. That was nice. I didn't even touch my arrow and it automatically advanced. anyway, so make sure that you, again, you would do it in that fashion. Exam prep. So patient is NPO 8 hours for routine scheduled visits. And obviously the reason why is because we have to evaluate the iliacs. If it's not possible for unscheduled visits, then what you need to do is scan the iliacs anyway. Sometimes the patient won't be gassed out. Get what you can, right? We are aware that that's not going to be possible for the unscheduled patient. Patient position, I think obviously you're all very savvy in lower extremity venous, and you pretty much know the best position not only to get the best images, but also what's most comfortable for the patient, because they need to be comfortable for a lower extremity exam. You know, we just put down that you could do prone position if you do have a deep vessel and a larger thigh to maybe put them in a prone position. Again, sometimes that's just difficult to get the patient to roll over and they're not comfortable. Warm room, explain breath holding techniques for Valsalva maneuvers, and then obviously just make sure that when the limb is externally rotated and flexed that it's comfortable so you avoid any muscular rigidity. The exam components. So we need BMO grayscale images for the compression exam. Color, do not use color for compression. It just flashes everywhere, and with a cine loop clip, it's just way too hard to follow. Now, I put it up there because if you need it for, let's say that's the only way you can even see the vein, well, obviously then, you know, we defer to your expertise to use it when you need it. Diameter measurements are only done in a transverse view. CFV and POP, document location extent of venous disease. So when you draw on that drawing and you want to say, let's just say the entire femoral vein has disease and doesn't fully compress, then make sure you draw it in that way, because that will be sort of our guide, especially when we only have static images. patency criteria is based on the lack of compressibility from a transverse view. In the iliac veins, obviously, if you can do compression at any area, please do. Maybe you have a thin patient. Maybe you can get it some portions of the external iliac vein, so just don't abandon it. Do try it if you think you can do it. Color and spectral Doppler are what we're going to use for the criteria, so we're looking for respiratory variation, and we will correlate any changes with B-mode image findings along with the contralateral CFV waveform, or basically CFV symmetry. Disease criteria, absence of complete compression. We do want to see intraluminal echoes. We want to see maybe vein scarring, some synechiae, so I recommend that you take time to optimize the image so that we are convinced that if we have lack of compression, that it's not due to something other than pathology. And then the documented diameter measurements. I'll show you an image of how to do that. It would be easier. Spectral Doppler, this is key. Assess for absence or presence of flow. If no flow, the reflux study is not required, but we do need you to show us that image documenting no flow in that segment to accurately say we can read it as occluded segment. We're looking for respiratory variation. You can do it with augmentation as well, whatever works for that particular patient. We already talked about the compression in the EIV. Color Doppler is very, very helpful. It's tough in the iliac sometimes if you have a lot of color overwrite, so make sure you optimize the color. And we don't care if it doesn't completely fill the lumen. We're really looking for that respiratory variation in the color to assess patency. Now, angle's not required to assess, do the spectral Doppler component, because we're not actually calculating velocities for any reason. But believe it or not, angle still matters, and we get at least 50% of our venous exams, people use a 90-degree Doppler angle, and what happens at a 90-degree, you get a weak echo detected, and you get a very, especially in a venous system, that's low flow to begin with, it actually looks like it's diseased. Please, if you can't visualize a 60-degree or less angle to optimize that returning echo, then I would recommend you measure an angle, because you will get dinged on that. It's very, very difficult, especially between baseline and 6 months, to notice any changes if it was the Doppler angle was 90 degrees. So this is a little redundant, but it is really highlighting some of the areas that we usually have problems with and could lead to us not having any data to report back to the sponsor. So as I mentioned with iliac veins, compress when possible, make sure with color or spectral Doppler you document respiratory variation, particularly in those patients that are stented, because we would expect everything to return to normal in terms of the spectral findings. Abnormal findings include additional views. That's tough in the iliac, but just at least attempt to find and show different angles of anything that is abnormal. The compression maneuvers are done in a transverse view every 1 to 2 centimeters, common femoral vein through to the pop tib confluence. It is our number one reason for a not readable study where someone reports on their worksheet that it's compressible, and we don't have the proof behind that. The contralateral CFD waveform. Again, take your time to get a good Doppler angle. If you do that at 90 degrees now, we really can't use it. And if we don't get it at baseline, then there's no sense in really looking for any changes at the six-month visit. Applying the external pressure slowly, especially in the cine loop clips, so that we can actually see the walls touch and then open up again. Document for those who don't have the ability to do. I mean, I say that. It can happen. If you don't have cine loop clips to do your compression, make sure you use a split screen or some method that can show us the vein open and then closed and when it's compressed. And if you're doing a static image, please put an arrow to where the vein is compressed, because again, once it's compressed, it's very, very difficult to really see if it's fully compressed or whether or not you rolled off. If it doesn't fully compress, then you're going to do the two images. Non-compressible CFE, the transverse diameter measurements, and annotate the images by location. If you forget, we all know that's probably one of the most things that take up so much time, then put it on your worksheet. We'll be able to follow your notes as long as there's something documenting to us what we're looking at. So the diameter measurement, it's actually the residual measurement. So what you're going to do is, this vein is compressed. Here we are at the common femoral. The vein is compressed and you're measuring interlumen to interlumen. This is completely filled. So they're basically, what you're doing, if you have a non-occlusive thrombus, you're compressing to the level of where it doesn't compress anymore. And that's the measurement you're taking. This is probably a better example of that. The femoral vein here, here's your SFA, here's your femoral vein. They're compressing. And that's as far as it goes. So this is the measurement you want. Sometimes people mistake this measurement for measuring it when the vein is fully open, you know, not compressed. But you're looking to see what part of that doesn't compress. And again, measure it in millimeters. That would be the same thing here, right? You see that there's this lumen here. If you were in transverse, you would compress down to here, and then that's the measurement that you're actually taking. Here, just showing in terms of documentation, like I said, the Doppler angle doesn't need to be out, but I'm finding that, you know, someone wasn't happy with us because we said they were using a 90-degree Doppler angle. They wrote back and said, wait a minute, you told me I didn't have to measure it. Well, no, but you still have to employ Doppler physics, and you're not going to get a strong reflector at 90 degrees. So this is just kind of showing you the image quality that we're looking for. Same thing here. This is obviously, we do the compression in transverse, but this is that additional view where we're asking for and can see the extent and basically the burden of thrombus at this level in the femoral vein. Then we come over here and we can see that we're actually, this is an image we don't want. So first off, they have color on and we're getting color flash everywhere. Now maybe a little ball of gas went moving by. But that's one of the reasons why we would prefer not to have color, because otherwise that picture would be good. But in this case, here's the Doppler. I don't know if you can appreciate it. So that's the other thing. They're at 90 degrees to that vessel. So this is not helpful at all in terms of deciding the absence or presence of any variation. Here's another one, and it just so this is the measurements we're talking about for the stents. So because this is the residual flow lumen, and definitely use color for this portion. Here's the diameter of the stent, and at the same location, now you're taking that second measurement of the residual flow. Okay, and so those are the measurements we're looking for. And you just do a visual estimate of where you think between each segment, proximal, mid, and distal, would be the narrowest segment, should they have it. If this is widely patent, then you're just going to take this measurement here.
Yep.
Here's just, again, the image documentation. Here we have augmentation. So this is perfectly fine format for documenting spectral, and then obviously we would expect to see the cine loop clips for the compression component. This is the kind of waveform we need to really accurately determine if there's any asymmetry between the common femoral vein waveforms. Iliac stent, just to show you a couple more because they can be variable. Here, you can see the measurements. This is one that's widely patent. This is just artifact through here. And same thing you can see here. So there's the measurements of the stent. Now, in this particular one, do the measurement. Obviously, transverse would be the best, but it's okay in this case just because of the course and the depth of the iliac veins. Do the best job you can with these measurements, and do something that if the patient did come back over time, you have something, let's say they had an unscheduled visit for whole limb swelling, and you want to look at that iliac vein stent, you want something that you can follow over time for this patient. The one thing you need to be careful of is being off axis. So we don't want the measurements done in this fashion, looking at these red X's. You want to use directly anterior to posterior. This would be correct, anterior to posterior. This is not correct. And then here's showing the respiratory variation. Sometimes we see a scale that's kind of like way too high for the flow. Make sure you set the scale so we can actually see these changes and fluctuations due to respiratory variation. So recording your findings, this is just one where the right leg was not done. We did have the CFE waveform, but you're really implying whether or not that's the study limb. On this side, the left leg was done. That's what checked off. It was fully compressible, so you do not need to do this. Please, if you forget to fill this out, whether or not it was compressible and we can't read your images, again, we're going to lose data. If you say that, yes, it's fully compressible and it's a tough study, we will, based on what you've told us that it was fully compressible, take that into consideration when we do our review. But if you didn't answer the question, then we didn't know what you thought at the time you did the study. And so this is fully compressible. Down here, it's not. And so we're entering in the residual diameter measurement of 8.3. Here is where this is drawn in. Now remember, that's the only area that's not fully compressible. And just again, a little something to basically show you it's not perfect, but just a diagram to head us in the right direction. And I've got a stent one coming up later. Reflux exam. You're going to measure the reflux time, common femoral above and below the great saphenous vein, femoral vein, proximate and distal, popliteal vein above and below the saphenopopliteal junction, superficial veins, greater saph, SFJ terminal valve, mid and distal, and the small saph and the saphenopopliteal junction. So just a diagram showing you where those are in relationship. Now remember, you're also doing the deep veins as well. So at 6 months, you're going to repeat the reflux study that was done at baseline. You're going to assess for interval changes post-treatment. And, some of the working theory is if this patient was randomized to endovascular therapy, we're actually looking to see if there's been an improvement in the reflux. So it is important that when you know the patient's been treated, to look for improvement and certainly not any worsening of the reflux. They may or may not in this study, it's up to the physician managing the patient as to whether or not they have any superficial vein ablation. Obviously, if they do, you're going to make sure that that vein is occluded, but you would not need to do the reflux component. You do need a warm room with the patient standing, obviously non-weight-bearing on the limb that you're doing. Alternate options are that if they can't stand, they're unsteady and it's hard for you to get the study done, something that actually causes them, like in an upright position dependent, to actually decrease venous pressure and assess for reflux. You can use at the common femoral in the SFJ augmentation or Valsalvo. Please write that on the image so we know. If possible, we do prefer automated cuff inflators as it is the most accurate way. If you are not using a cuff inflator, make sure that that is written on the form somewhere, on the reflux form. So routine standard DUS procedure, there's nothing additional that needs to be done. It's just a matter of collecting all the information and then changing your sweep speed so that we can actually measure the reflux time for that patient. Apply the appropriately sized blood pressure cuff to the distal thigh and upper calf using the automated cuff inflator. High cuff, you're going to use a 24 centimeter cuff. And obviously these are just recommendations based on, you know, the size of the patient's thigh, the average thigh. If you have a thin thigh, then you might use a smaller cuff. So use your own internal procedures to determine exactly what cuffs you're going to use. Add any notation on a worksheet if you are using the modified technique. The key is that you need to for that patient do something that's both repeatable and reproducible. So just showing you some different measurements, documenting a competent vein, documenting a vein with a greater than 2 millisecond reflux time. Very, very important to have a nice clean spectrum in order to capture that. The most common issues, when the cursor's not aligned, I always tell people that you might think during some of this, like you get a little bored thinking, oh, she keeps repeating herself. That's intentional. If I repeat something more than once, those are the most common issues, and I'm just trying to send the message home that that's what you should pay attention to and make sure it's done correctly. Angles greater than 60 degrees in the vein are just not acceptable. Again, trying to document respiratory variation in a low-flow system, it's just not going to be accurate when you're using angles up towards 90 degrees. Max PSV not documented, well, that's a mistake. That doesn't belong in there. Sorry about that. Images discrepant from spectral findings. So something along the lines of getting a nice respiratory variation, the image or the image is abnormal, but yet the vein looks widely patent. So make sure you kind of look at your images a little with a blinded eye, thinking I'm not the one looking at these, somebody else is. And you always think, too, if you're having a tough time documenting something or figuring out what's happening in that patient, if you have the question at the time you do the study, you can guarantee we're going to have that same question. So try and sort of be proactive and answer it with your images. So at least that way. And if you can't, then put a comment saying, I did evaluate this. I couldn't find out why the signal changed from this segment to this segment. At least that will help us and we won't ding you on something that we know you already looked at. Incomplete image documentation. Incomplete documentation is key, especially for the compression component, because as we all know, if it's not a thorough exam of compression, you can't just do proximal midfemoral vein, then that is really we won't be able to read it, basically. Incomplete clinical center's worksheet, and that's like I mentioned, if you don't mark off whether it was fully compressible and the images aren't very good, it's a deep vein, then we're going to be unable to really read that as well. We will defer to your expertise because you're the one that is doing the exam and can really tell when you have the probe in your hand if that vein is compressing. Image quality, it shouldn't be a factor because except in the femoral vein, in the superficial veins, the only place that we're going to expect challenges would be in the iliac veins. And then color overwrite and flash, you need to decide if your documentation shows you what you want us to see. So that one image where probably gas went by and they had color on, I would just recommend that you have to repeat that image, take the color off, knowing that the patient has some gas that could cause some color flash. And images not labeled, as I mentioned, we all do that. We know what happens. So just make sure you add some annotation to your worksheet so that we can identify that. Submit images in the completed appropriate worksheet. So remember, the only one you're not going to send to us, the clinical center's form, is the one done for unscheduled visit. It would just be the checklist. Cross-reference, we call them examiner worksheets from prior visits, so that you can compare those for any changes. And as I keep mentioning, we don't get enough comments. And when we do, it is just so incredibly helpful. Just think how many times your physicians might come to you in the lab and say, what did you see, to help them understand an image. We're in that same position. If you do get a feedback, please make sure you make any changes or get back with any information for all future visits. And then if you have any questions, you can call or email. All of the staff are trained for CTREP. And the beauty of this is we don't have any automated. We have a real person answer the phone, so all you have to do is say, I'm calling for CTRAC and I need tech support. And then the person who answers the phone will connect you to the appropriate staff. We are open Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also, if it's something that you just read the protocol and you have a question about that might seem different from this, you can also email us at mghvascor@partners.org. And we will get back to you. You should include your phone number because sometimes if it's a question that might be better explained live, we would prefer to call you. So do include your phone number. Make sure that when you're writing MGH Vascor in the subject line, you do put CTRAC. We do have 100 different studies going on, so we want to make sure that we delegate this to the appropriate staff. Here's our contact numbers as well. So if anybody has any questions, I want to thank you for your time today, and we'll open it up to questions.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When we're doing extrinsic compression of the femoral veins, do we have to document incision loops every 1 and 2 centimeters? And submit that as well, or as long as we do it and we know that the vein is patent?
So unfortunately, that's a great question. So what I would recommend is that for areas that are fully compressible, so let's say you have a 4 or 5 centimeter segment of femoral vein that's compressible, just go into Cine Loop and you can document that in one clip, right? Those 4 or 5 centimeters moving down. But we do need to see as much as you can of every 1 to 2 centimeters. But where I really want you to then spend more of your time is any area that doesn't fully compress. So if you say it fully compresses and you do some representative samples in that, we will defer to your judgment having done the exam. The ones where we have to prove whether or not it's pathology or at least provide them with an answer as to why it doesn't compress. So for two reasons. The area doesn't compress, you need to do a measurement, right? And we need to know what the cause is. So let's say it is just scarring and synechiae from their post-thrombotic. So we want to look to see if there's any changes to that once they are enrolled and fall into one of the arms of the study. So that needs to be well done so we can track for changes. But those that are fully compressible, you can just be a little bit, and I hate to always say that because then some people give us like three compressions and think we can read it. So use your best judgment to document what you can. You can actually do greater sweeps for longer normal segments. So it doesn't become that labor intensive. I know I'm being a bit vague, but does that help answer your question?
Yes, it does. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? And the other thing is too, you know, at the baseline visit, which is why, you know, submitting them promptly is so helpful, if we find it's not sufficient, we'll send you a feedback and ask you to do, more images.
All right, sounds good.
Great. Thanks, Viv. That's a good one. Anybody else?
Yes, I have a question on the reflux portion of the exam.
Uh-huh.
When there is a proximal thrombus, say common femoral occlusive thrombus of the iliac, but the femoral vein is compressible, the popliteal vein is compressible, you're still wanting a reflux through those segments, correct?
Correct. Now, when you say that, I just want to specify, too, we're not talking about any patients with acute DVT.
Correct, because if they do have acute DVT, we would not be doing that portion of the test.
Yeah, and that's why it's not included as part of the unscheduled, because, you know, the assumption is that when you're doing an unscheduled, that's what you're going to be looking for most of the time, is whether or not the patient develops an acute DVT, because obviously these patients are all at high risk for that.
Exactly. And see, that was one of my confusions on this study, is the scheduled versus unscheduled. If it's the first time we're seeing the patient, it would be an unscheduled appointment. And then after that, we would call our person who is our representative for you guys, our nurse, in other words, and tell her, hey, we've got a new DVT here that could fit into this trial. We wouldn't be doing the reflux on that patient, correct?
I'm a little bit confused, because patients with acute DVT are not being enrolled. Angela.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
This is your post-thrombotic reflux.
Okay, they're being under treatment and all that. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, but no, great question. And, you know, I mean, that is hard, because a lot of times you don't know the patient's going to be enrolled, let's say even the average post-thrombotic patient that you're looking at.
Right.
Yeah, and if your internal protocols don't call that, then once they realize that they've screened them for the study, then you have to add. The coordinator would then be responsible to get back to you and tell you you need to do the baseline requirements for CTRAC.
CTRAC. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks. Good stuff. Anybody else? Because I always figure this way. You know, even if you think, like, oh, you have a question that you want to ask us offline, remember, I always say, if you're thinking of a question, somebody else probably is thinking that same thing. So don't be shy.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a quick one. On the ultrasound worksheet, baseline scheduled worksheet, you have patency of common iliac vein. It's either patent or occluded, but what if it's like partially occlusive? Do you mark it as patent because there's still flow in that vein, or do you mark it as occluded? It's kind of like...
You know what? I have the same question. So, you know, these forms are designed sort of in collaboration, and so they're not always my forms, and so I think that's a great question. Patency is defined as, and I think what I'm going to do actually is I'm going to add an annotation to this slide set, because there's also a slide set up on the website for CTRAC, so I'm going to actually add that, because patency is defined as presence of flow, period. So if you detect flow in that vein, even if it's filled with some old junk, it's patent. Occluded is no flow. So it's very black and white. I know all of us are, you know, our minds are geared, which is why I said it's not my form. It's even hard for me to look at, because I want to be able to tell people that there's disease there. So think of that question as just a question about flow, yes or no. Another great one. This is
Thank
terrific.
You.
So
yeah.
I have a question. As far as the compression of the veins, sometimes patients will hold their breath inadvertently when you're pressing, no matter what you tell them, and it's hard to get those veins to compress. You would just want us to write that up in the worksheet for you, to say patient could not hold their breath.
Yeah, absolutely. Just say, you know, I would just write muscular rigidity, because that's usually what it causes when they sort of guard against you.
Correct.
So, yep, just put that down there, and then make sure that what I would do is I might throw in a long axis view showing, you know, a nice picture of the vein. That's
sure,
all.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's what we do here.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Right,
and sometimes, you know, people have tender groins. If they've had any other procedures or stuff, that area, too, can be tough to show complete compression. And that's the whole thing, is we just want to be able to rule out that it is not venous pathology.
Okay,
great. Anything else? I think we're doing great. And actually, thank you, because some of these questions I will clarify and add some of that to the slide set, and that maybe we can get that up to the website, so if you have other techs in your facility, it'll be spelled out, like the flow, no flow question. And I'll use that muscular rigidity as an example of, you know, a non-compressible segment not due to venous pathology. Okay, anyone else? Well, if there's nothing else, then I really don't want to keep everybody from the rest of your day. Like I said, I really appreciate it. It took a little bit longer than I anticipated, but I think it was worthwhile. So I hope you found it helpful as well. And please remember, we're here to help you. So call anytime if we can provide any assistance.
Gail, I have one quick question.
Yep.
On, I think it's slide 9, on your unscheduled worksheet, on the checklist, actually, underneath where it says common femoral vein, I think there's a typo. It says artery.
I'm sorry. Say again, where is it on the form?
Image 9 on the unscheduled checklist under the common femoral section. It's common femoral artery.
I am not seeing that. Do you see it, Kathy?
No.
Right, slide 9?
It says right below external iliac vein. It says common femoral vein, and then in the... It has a 1, and it's a common femoral artery grid scale B mode image, which I'll respect about.
Oh, CFA, you know what? I was looking for it written out. Thank you. What a good catch. All right, that will be changed, and we'll send out, if anyone has that form, we'll be able to send out new forms, yes?
Yes, please. That would be great.
All right, I'll get it to you right after this call.
All right.
Angela, is there any way, I know you guys talked about sending over, the audio of this meeting. There's a girl that wanted to attend, but she is off today, so I was wondering if we can get that to her.
Sure, and actually I appreciate the opportunity to, you know, mention that. As Gail indicated, we will post to our C-TRAC website the slides and the audio file. And that C-TRAC website should really be made available to your team at your site. That's why we kind of have simplified the login process. So, I need to obviously follow up with Gail, but hopefully we can have that information posted there by tomorrow. And then if you have any difficulty accessing it or downloading it, just let me know. That's no problem.
Yeah, that'd be great. My whole lab could make it to this because they're all out on the trying to scramble and get patients done.
Right.
Yeah, kind of the same boat for everyone, so that's why I appreciate your time. But Angela, I can really guarantee that you will have it updated by tomorrow, and the form will be updated within the next hour.
Perfect. That's terrific. Thank you.
CFA. Yep. No worries. That was my bad.